Blog Talk Radio.
Live and bass from Memphis, Tennessee, this is Grizzly Bear Blues Live, hosted by Joe Mullinax.
Rhyme ruler, the mind of the master, the prime poet designed for disaster, a crime candidate, the light heavyweight, I might levitate right through the heaven's gate, rhyme record break neck spines and vertebrae, step up and plane like Kanye, I heard him say, it's murder one when he murder tracks, I'm a dirt bag, flirting with songbirds and Birkin bags, my first rap catch Roberta Flack, I'm a certified Mac, but I'm sure you ain't heard of that. Slim Thug and them hoes, they been loving the flow. They been hunting for men like In Vogue. And I'm in season, the season vet. I don't need respect. All I need is a check. Might even check.
I tell you what, I'm not sure we're going to be able to take another 9-day break from the Blog Talk Radio airwaves anytime soon. Because if you stop for a second, and we didn't even necessarily stop, we just moved because the Grizzlies were moving so quickly. I tell you, it's like we've been on a roller coaster with these Memphis Grizzlies, ups and downs and ebbs and flows, peaks and valleys, all the different metaphors you want to use. It's been a remarkable 9 days since we last spoke. I am your host, Joe Mullinax, and this is Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I'm excited to be with you, as always. And I'm excited to be joined, as always, by my wonderful, our wonderful producer of the program, Mr. Chip Williams. How are you doing tonight, Chip?
I am doing excellent. I've been keeping up with March Madness. We were talking about it today. It's been, it's already crazy, right? Like, it's already, we've played like under 5 or 6 games, I guess, now. And it seems like every game is a 1 or 2, you know, possession game at winding down the clock. It's a lot of fun, man. College basketball is not always the most aesthetically pleasing game, especially for those of us like you and I who watch a ton of NBA. But man, it's just nothing like the passion and the heart and soul that these guys pour out in these games, because it's a single elimination. It's a lot of fun. So, but you're right, we've got a lot of Grizzly stuff to talk about, man. I'm excited for the show.
March Madness is in full on mode. My bracket is already, you know, if we still filled out the paper ones, it would already be in the trash can. All of them are online now. At least I do mine online. And we have a Grizzly Bear Blues one that I haven't looked at. I'm guessing I'm at the bottom of it, but I'll take a look when the show is over this evening. I'm happy to be joined by Chip, the producer of the show, as always. Also in the first segment, we're joined by the managing editor of GrizzlyBearBlues.com. His name is Chris Faulkner. And Chris, how are your brackets looking early on? Or did you even fill out a bracket? I don't think I saw your name. And if I did, I missed it.
No, man, the college game is just not my thing. I won't say they'll always be that way, but at this point in time, with the amount of NBA that I do watch, I just can't do it. The 35-second shot clock makes me anxious, I guess. I don't know. It's just too much for me. So I didn't even bother, although with the way I've kind of been calling Grizzlies games on Twitter recently, I probably should have at least taken a stab at it, because I've been more correct than I choose to know recently.
I'm surprised you haven't bought a lottery ticket yet, or at least gone to Vegas or Atlantic City, or, you know, maybe even obviously down the Mississippi to one of the Southland races kind of places, wherever the casinos might be, a Horseshoe Tunica. Gone and tested your luck down there with the run that you're on.
Yeah, my options are everywhere, so I should at least take a stab at it. I did find some nice things while thrift shopping today, though, so we'll say that it kind of poured over into that.
There you go. Well, that's fantastic. We're excited to have Chris as well, and we have plenty to talk about in this first segment, but before we get all that, got to make sure I give you the rundown of the show. First things first. Talk to us on social media. You can follow the show on Twitter at GBBLive. Once again, that is at GBBLive. We man that Twitter account throughout the show. Tweet at us. Try to interact. We want this to be as interactive as possible, this wonderful program that we put on as a part of the GrizzlyBearBlues.com family. Also, make sure you're following me on Twitter at Joe Mullinax. Make sure you're following our wonderful producer, Chip Williams, at Chip Williams Jr. And then, of course, the managing editor of GrizzlyBearBlues.com, Chris Faulkner. He is at Faulkner Memphis. The chat room is also open, the Blog Talk Radio chat room. If you are listening live to the program, you can go into the chat. I'll be posting questions in there. If you have a question for our guests, if you have a comment on what we're talking about, there's going to be some hot takes this evening, I have a feeling, on a variety of topics. So if you have any comments or you want to, you know, say, Joe, you're crazy, or Chris, you're awesome, or whatever it might be, Chip, you're handsome, we take all sorts of compliments and detrimental comments here.
And that's exactly how it would go, too.
That's probably it. Yep, Joe is crazy, Chris is awesome, and Chip is handsome. Yeah, that would
well,
be
I'm
about
not sure that that's true.
So hit us up in the chat room, hit us up on Twitter. Happy to talk to you. We want this to be an interactive program. First segment, as I said, the Grizzly Bear News segment with our managing editor, Chris Faulkner. Plenty to talk about, losses in Boston and in Washington, D.C. I had an opportunity to cover that game for the Memphis for GrizzlyBearBlues.com. Got to go in the locker room, speak with some media types. I'll share my experiences a little bit with covering the Grizzlies on the road. Then they come off of those two tough losses, and, of course, the Wizards game. Coach Yeager basically punted, benching Tony Allen, Marc Gasol, Zach Randolph, and Mike Conley, although Conley's been out for injury reasons ever since Boston. Then they come home. They beat the Milwaukee Bucks, who are a playoff team in the Eastern Conference. They beat the Denver Nuggets, who, you know, are a team that's re-energized, so to speak, after the firing of their coach. And then they go to Detroit and completely lay a brick, make Detroit and Reggie Jackson look like the second coming of Isaiah Thomas. And then the next night, they drop a game to the Philadelphia 76ers. So it's been a confusing week, to say the least. Jeff Green continues to be a topic of conversation amongst all sorts of folks, writers, bloggers, fans, whatever you want to call it. There's all sorts of things going on. We have plenty to discuss. We'll get to most of that in our first segment. In segment two, Jonah Jordan of GrizzlyBearBlues.com. He's a great contributor to the site. He and Chip recently put up a tremendously popular mock draft series that has gotten a lot of views on the site, much appreciated there. They did great work on that article. So we'll talk about that a little bit. We'll also get into the Tony Allen and Jeff Green question that I raised in an article I wrote this week. And it's been something that's been floated elsewhere. It wasn't an original thought on my part. But we keep focusing on this or, and it might be an and solution, Tony Allen and Jeff Green together. We'll talk about that and the struggles of Courtney Lee and much more with Jonah Jordan. And then in the final segment, we welcome back the return of Amin El Hassan. We've had him on the show in the past of ESPN.com, of True Hoop TV. I've had an opportunity to be on his After Dark program in the past. That was fun, so I'm excited to talk to Amin again. He's gotten bigger since the last week. He has his ESPN radio show on Sunday nights, I believe, and he's been doing SportsCenter spots. He's kind of a big deal. People know him. He has many leather-bound books, and his apartment smells of rich mahogany. We're excited to talk to Amin about the Grizzlies, about Tony Allen as a starter, as a sixth man. And there's a question, and it's interesting. Another guy who we've had on the podcast in the past, Matt Moore, at HP Basketball, CBSSports.com writer. He and a couple of our writers, Austin Reynolds and others, every once in a while, they get into an argument about Nick Calathes or Beno Udra. So I'm interested to get, obviously, Chip's perspective in that segment, and we'll also talk to Amin about that. I mean, who's better for Memphis? Who's better overall? I'm just interested to get another national guy's perspective. So we're going to have Jonah Jordan in segment number two. We're going to have Amin El Hassan in segment number three. Please make sure you're interacting with the program. Please make sure you're tweeting us, getting into the chat room as we head into our segment that we like to call Grizzly Bear News. Mr. Chris Faulkner, if you would, please, good sir, give the kind folks some wonderful bits of information that they can check out over at GrizzlyBearBlues.com as they're listening to the show tonight. There's a lot of different stuff that went up on the site this week. A lot of good work by our writers, Chris.
It was, and I'm looking back through it right now to refresh myself on some of it because I'll be honest, guys, in the past couple of days I've been using the Men in Black memory wipe pen every few hours just to forget what I had watched on, Tuesday night. But anyway, seriously, though, I found a good starting point to go back through. I believe this was last Sunday when I posted this, It was actually some audio that our previous GBV Live guest, Peter Edmiston, had posted on YouTube from Marc Gasol that he had gotten, I think, last Saturday. But it's really interesting. Marc kind of talks about a lot of different things, but something specifically that everyone kind of needs to be aware of, I feel like, you know, the more that we'll talk about this later in the show, I'm sure, but Marc Gasol says he needs to work on being more positive, and he specifically referenced in being positive with his critiques of his teammates and giving them positive reinforcement rather than, I guess, negative reinforcement. But I won't talk any more on that now, but that's kind of a good starting point for, you know, where things are at right now. But the next day, me and Andrew Ford had specifically talked about posting a piece on Jeff Green to start to, I guess, temper the moods of the discussions, more or less. And Andrew worked with a nice little film breakdown showing how Jeff Green works in transition for the Grizzlies and how that makes the Grizzlies very lethal in transition. They were kind of missing that long, athletic person. They've obviously got several people that can execute outside of those skills, but Jeff Green kind of completes the attack there. And then the next day, Joe, you published a lovely piece on Jeff as well that went through the various expectations people have and how Jeff meets them in some ways and how he doesn't in others, and how that's okay. That's part of who he is as a player, and the Grizzlies will have to make that work. And they, you know, knew what they were getting before he came over, and they should have a plan for making that work. And obviously, as we've seen, Jeff is getting a little bit more comfortable and has shown a bit more production recently. That same day, we also had Grace Baker publish the top five possible first-round matchups for the Grizzlies going into the playoffs, so a little breakdown of each team that the Grizzlies are likely, at this point at least, likely to be facing in the first round of the playoffs, and does a great job of showing what we're up against there. And let's see, we had a lot of game coverage, obviously. Wonderful, wonderful game coverage of some horrific, horrific games, no doubt. But, Chip, you actually, also Chip, nice running into you at the grocery store last night. Always pleasant to see a friendly face out at facing the treacherous Kroger that is Poplar and Highland. But you had a great piece on Tony Allen today, and you know it was exactly what I think people needed. You'll notice that I haven't posted anything in addressing the sort of dark cloud that's hanging over people right now, and there's reasons for that. But one of the reasons is to let some brilliant writing shine elsewhere. And Chip, I loved your piece on Tony. It's been a while since we've really shown, you know, tipped our hat to the grandfather, but he's having a really nice season. You know, we're still getting the usual Tony Allen that will make you, cringe every now and then, but he's looking spry for an old man, I'd say. And, we're going to obviously need his spirit and his energy going forward, especially to kind of get things back on track, guys. What's been going on? What's up with the Grizzlies?
Well, it's up and down, Chris. And once again, we're talking to Chris Faulkner, managing editor of GrizzlyBearBlues.com and his weekly Grizzly Bear News segment here on Grizzly Bear Blues Live. And it's a situation where you look at this team and you watch them play, and they have the look of a team who is bored, who is tired, who is over this grind that has been going on since October, late October. Obviously, camp began beginning of October. They're just over it. That's what it kind of looks like to me. And as I detailed in my Jeff Green piece this week, you know, and so often people who maybe are anti-Jeff Green, you know, they counter now and they say, oh, well, we never said he was the only problem. Well, there are a lot of information put out there that focused on Jeff Green as an issue. But with Jeff and with the Grizzlies, this grit and grind era that we talk about that started with Super Z-Bo and the floods of 2011 that spring where they beat the San Antonio Spurs, the 8 seed upsetting the 1, you know, where this all starts. You look at this team from that time and you move forward, and they have a history now of being a group that goes through these stages, whether it be long, prolonged stages, whether it be short spurts, like last season. I believe they went 8-5 in February, and that was the worst that they did in terms of a stretch. It's a situation where they're going to go into these lulls. It's just going to happen. That's part of the history. At this point, we shouldn't be surprised. But at the same time, you are surprised to an extent because you saw the hot start that they had. You thought that it was different because you saw how Marc Gasol was playing. And Kevin Leip today put out a great article. I retweeted it on my Twitter account talking about Mark. And it kind of goes along with my grit and grind era philosophy as well. You know, it is more likely at this point that he is regressing back to what he is than him consistently staying at where he was earlier in the year. And we'll talk more about Mark later in the show. But, you know, the Grizzly Bear Blues Live question of the day was, do we have realistic expectations of Marc Gasol? And I think that Mark Hardlick, the tweet that we'll talk about, or Hardlick, excuse me, tweet that we'll talk about later on in the show, between Kevin's article, I think I've had the realization this past week, Chip, we're asking Marc Gasol, a 7'1", 265-pound man, to be the most important offensive player and the most important defensive player on a championship contender. Who else in the NBA can you think of who's asked to do that? I mean, seriously, think of maybe LeBron, maybe?
Yeah, I think it's probably LeBron, but obviously Marc Gasol's not LeBron. So, you know, I guess we probably are asking a little too much of Marc Gasol to basically, if you look at what we're asking him to do, and I think Arlick has said this, we're asking him to be like a top 10 or 15 player of all time. And that's just not who he is. You know, it seemed like kind of earlier in this season when Mark was certainly asserting himself on the offensive end that maybe his defense began to slip even a little bit. You know, he was still a great defender, but maybe he wasn't, you know, a truly elite defensive player of the year caliber defender. And it seems like the defense has started to pick up, especially I love watching Marc Gasol hedge on pick and roll defense. It's the best there is in the NBA of any big man. It's fantastic. And it seems like he started to get back in gear on the defensive end, but we've started to see the offense slip a little bit. So I think you kind of get what you get with Mark in terms of you cannot get elite on both sides of the ball every single game. And I'm not sure that you necessarily need it. It's great. It'd be ideal if Mark was a top 15 player of all time, certainly. But Zach Randolph has been great offensively this year. What's hurt it, I think, especially as of late, is just Mike Conley has been really bad. It's probably a lot to do with some fatigue. He's getting some rest, some much-needed rest right now. But I think as long as you have Mike Conley back there and he's scoring 15, 16, 17 a game, then you don't necessarily need Mark to be taking 15 or more shots a game. You can just kind of let him pick and choose his spots, because I think you'd love to have Marc Gasol as kind of that guy in the fourth quarter, you know, taking the majority of the shots, being kind of that closer, I guess, if you want to call him that. I think that we certainly are asking Marc to do too much. And I think, like I said, a lot of that may be rooted in the fact that Mike Conley has just not been very good. And we need Mike to be good. And that's just the fact of it. You need Mike Conley to be good. You need Marc Gasol to be good. And the Grizzlies will be good. That's just – it's. I know that sounds incredibly simple, but at the end of the day, that's basically just what it boils down to.
Once again, you're listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. The voice you just heard was Chip Williams Jr., our wonderful producer. And we're joined by Chris Faulkner, the managing editor of GrizzlyBearBlues.com, for the Grizzly Bear News segment. And Chris – Chip hits on a good point. You know, we worry about these struggles, and you look at the past five games, especially since we last were on the air, and it's a tough loss in Boston. But we have to remember that's the only game that Mike Conley played in. And, you know, the Wizards game, as I said, the one that I covered for the site, people were apologizing to me on Twitter. But, I mean, they benched their four best players. I mean, you can maybe make an argument that Jeff Green's your fourth best player, but this season I think it's Tony Allen, and I love Jeff Green. And I would still say Tony Allen has been better consistently than Jeff has. So you bench your four best players, and you're going against a team who has aspirations to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. So you're probably going to lose that game. So the one that really maybe stands out, at least to me, obviously the Boston one was disappointing, prompted the long-term rest, or not long-term, excuse me, the short-term rest in D.C. But then the Detroit game really just eats at you. And for me, and it goes back to our conversation about Marc Gasol, it's body language. And I think that where we can be realistic with our expectations of Marc is having better – he has these spurts every once in a while – of poor body language, and he's a guy that the team looks to. You know, obviously Zach and Tony bring the energy, they bring that toughness that people associate with the grit and grind mentality, but Marc Gasol is the starter all-star. Marc Gasol is the guy who was in the MVP conversation earlier in the season. This is the guy that lots of people are looking to on this team for leadership, and I think that we're not seeing that consistently out of Marc. And that is where I think we can be expect a little bit more out of him. He needs to step up as we go through these next few weeks here, because it's not going to get easier in March. The road's just going to get tougher to hoe.
That's interesting. I think that's an accurate statement too, as far as what we can expect from Marc. He has looked particularly frustrated. We said the other night he's going to slam that ball through the court or into his face sooner than later with the amount of just rage he's putting into those hard ball slaps he does and or ball throws into the court. That's been going on for, you know, a couple of months now. That's not anything new. I want to say maybe, I guess, even before the All-Star break, it kind of starts seeing Mark's frustration come out. He's talking to the officials a lot, and not in the way that Marc has typically been known for. You know, he's known for being extremely polite and, you know, well-mannered and well-tempered on the court, but he doesn't have all-star snubbed Mike Conley kind of being his part of his tripod anymore. You know, Zach Randolph's been phenomenal, I think, in just about every way. Zach's having an amazing season, particularly on defense, too. And Zach's pretty rock steady as far as his leadership, you know, his leadership style. Zach's there. It's Mike that is missing now, that, you know, has been missing for a couple months, even before, you know, he got hurt recently. We've been talking about this, gosh, it seems, for most of this calendar year at this point. So, you know, Marc is, I mean, he's not playing poorly. He's, you know, he's still looking pretty smooth most of the time out there. Like, he shows the ability to get whatever he wants on people when he wants it, I guess, is where what it comes down to. And, you know, it's probably – I can't imagine what it's like to have to lead a basketball team for, you know, six consecutive months. And don't forget, Marc is a – pretty newly minted father. I believe last summer was when his first daughter was born. So that, if you recall last season, that took a pretty good toll on Tony Allen. I believe it was early in the spring, and, you know, Tony had a horrible stretch. I want to say it went on for a month and a half, and you know, he looked tired, he looked worn down, and that, you know, that's how people get hurt too. So you definitely want to see Marc kind of get back into the mindset of the player that we saw earlier in the season. Not even speaking about the statistics and the numbers that he was putting up, I think the Grizzlies can win with the Marc Gasol that we see right now. I don't think that's, you know, I don't think he needs to score average 20 points a game for us to win. We've got, you know, several people on roster who are capable of putting up the same sort of scoring numbers that Marc Gasol can. You're right, though, Joe. I guess fans need to expect Marc to set a better tone. I don't know if that's completely fair, but I'd say if you're going to criticize anything, that would be the most fair of what he's doing right now. I really think these couple of days off after, you know, the winning in Denver was, honestly, that game was just as frustrating to me as the Pistons game. We just happened to win that one somehow by 10, 11 points. Pretty much played the same game they did in Detroit. I guess, you know, the back-to-back element probably wore them down and made it, the result end up being that much worse. Because obviously they're coasting right now. There's no way they can deny that. If they want, then they have to explain a host of other questions, I guess. But, you know, this isn't anything new, really. I think we would have seen something very similar go on last season with the Grizzlies around this time if they hadn't needed every single win possible to just get into the playoffs. They were, you know, Marc was essentially coming off a large chunk of rest, even though he was rehabbing an injury. He was ready to rock and roll when he came back in, you know, late January, and that's what level he was on the rest of the season into the playoffs. And, you know, it's different this season, and he's had a lot of pressure, and I think he's lived up to the pressure for the most part. It's not all his fault, but it would definitely help to kind of get a different temperament going on again. And, you know, Marc Gasol needs to have fun playing basketball. That's when he's at his best.
And it's a situation where it's not one person's fault. That defeats the whole purpose of team sports. So that's, you know, whether you blame Jeff Green, Tony Allen, or the Hamburglar, whoever it might be, it's not one person's fault for anything when it comes to a unit. It's a group effort. And it's not all Jeff Green, and it's not all Marc Gasol. It's not all Mike Conley. It's not all Courtney Lee. It's a combination of things. And I think that part of what Marc can bring to the table, and he, as you said, Chris, he acknowledges this, is being more positive, not being so negative. You know, negativity is not going to get you anything in this life except for more frustration. If you're able to take that, whatever adversity is happening to you, and the Grizzlies are facing adversity right now, if they're able to take that, make something positive out of it, and kind of regain maybe a little bit of that underdog mentality that they've had in the past, because they're not an underdog anymore. And they've talked about this, whether it be on the NBA TV show The Association or whether it be with local media types, national media types, that they're not sneaking up on anybody anymore. You know, that you could argue at worst they're the fourth best team in the NBA right now if you want to put Cleveland ahead of them, because Cleveland has been phenomenal since the All-Star break and even before then. I think that's fair. But the Memphis Grizzlies, fourth best team in the NBA, that's not an underdog. You're expected to be a conference finals contender, and then once you get there, you toss up the ball and see what happens. So it's going to be interesting to see how these next two games go, and it's also going to be interesting to see, Chris, how it goes in terms of the idea of them, you know, kind of cruising. Because if that is true, and it certainly could be with this veteran group, then you would expect, and to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if this happened, for them to come out guns a-blazing against the Dallas Mavericks and Portland Trail Blazers, and we might be sitting here on Sunday after a mini two-game winning streak looking at each other and saying, wow, we're back up to – the Grizzlies are back 2.5 games in front for the Southwest Division.
Yeah, I think that's very likely. it just shows you how much pressure the fan base, franchise and the city kind of have on it right now. Like, this is it. We've kind of been saying this for you know, probably almost a year. I mean, right after we were ousted from the playoffs last year, Bright started talking about how this was the season for the Grizzlies. And I think you're right. I think absolutely tomorrow, I think we're going to see the Grizzlies come out angry and sharp and aggressive on all fronts. And, you know, I think they flew out just a couple hours ago, so they'll be nice and settled in tonight. And, you know, they always seem to, you know, teams in general talk about, you know, bonding on the road and it, you know, having the team versus everyone mentality. So, and particularly playing in Dallas, where the Grizzlies, you know, historically have struggled, you know, anywhere in Texas, really. But, you know, Dallas being a team that the Grizzlies have had some really good games against the past couple of years, and obviously Vince Carter sort of making a little return there, and, you know, having a little more mobility and oomph in his stuff recently, that'll be interesting to see. The thing that I am waiting to see to make any sort of judgment on the weekend, or really in general, is how they come out on Saturday at home against Portland, because that's, you know, it's another back-to-back. Those have been grinding away at them. They've had, seems like, gosh, like half a dozen this month alone already. And they need to defend home court, and that's a team that they really need to beat if they want to clinch the second seed. So I think, without question, I think tomorrow is they might not win just because, you know, Dallas is capable of putting up 400 points, and if the Grizzlies aren't focused on defense, that could easily get away from them. And if hopefully Mike Conley's playing and we get to, you know, get a little boost from that, at least throw in another shooter to, you know, keep up with whatever the Mavericks are doing. But, yeah, that Saturday game is what it's going to come down to for me before I kind of go one way or the other as far as, you know, worried or not. I'm still kind of observing at this point, see what's, you know, how what adjustments are made, because a lot of this is going to be on Dave Yeager and Daff and, you know, just the management to kind of get things in focus here. But hopefully we're talking about a couple wins next time I'm on the air with you guys. And like you said, I think if they win both games this weekend, we'll just kind of on Sunday be looking around saying, what was the big deal again? You know, especially if Mike Conley comes back and is effective in any way. Not sure how much of Mike will actually end up getting back. Hopefully, you know, that ankle gets the Robert Pair treatment, maybe some tiger's blood, some plasma injections. Who knows what they have up their sleeve.
There you go.
But, yeah, that's where I'm at least.
I think that's a good place to be. And I think it's a situation where the Grizzlies really are a team that has ebbs and flows. Most teams are like that. I think that we're asking too much of Marc Gasol, and we're not asking the right things of him consistently as a fan base. And the organization isn't necessarily asking consistently the right things. And you can tell that in body language. And I really think if they find a way to get that rectified, they get back Mike Conley. And Vince Carter the past couple of games has shown, hey, maybe you just need a few weeks off and you can come back and be guns a-blazing. If Mike Conley can come back, be back to where he was earlier in the season, this team can go on a run, and there's not necessarily any team in the NBA that really worries me when it comes to playing the Memphis Grizzlies when they're at their peak. Hopefully they get back there. Hopefully we're talking about them returning to that peak when we talk to you next week, March 26th, in our next show. Chris, great stuff as always. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Chin up, everyone. Grizzlies are still 47-21, even if we lose these next two games. 47-23 is about where the Grizzlies were in 2013 when they went on that big run the Western Conference final. So it's life, and I think they're going to figure it out.
I think so, too. Thank you, Chris. We'll talk to you soon.
See you guys.
All right. Once again, that was Chris Faulkner, managing editor of GrizzlyBearBlues.com. Make sure you're following Chris on Twitter, at Faulkner Memphis, and he has good perspective there. I think it's important to keep that in mind. They're still a couple of games ahead of their pace of when they had the best season in the history of the Grizzlies organization. So it's a spot where they can certainly improve, Chip, but the and I think you tweeted this week, there's cause for concern. You know, the media guys, the Chris Vernons and Chris Harringtons who we've had on the show in the past, the guys who are, you know, really in deep with the guys on this team, they're not saying it's nothing because clearly there's something there, but it's also not time to pull a Chicken Little and yell at the sky because it's falling.
No, it's far from time to press the panic button. And I usually stay pretty reserved on Twitter, but I kind of just fired off a round of some pretty, you know, I just kind of let my thoughts out there on Twitter after the loss to Detroit, because look, I completely understand not being satisfied with a loss to Detroit. It, you know, that's a game you should win, regardless if it's on a second night of a back-to-back. You know, whatever the circumstances are, you expect to beat the Detroit Pistons this year especially. So, you know, the sky's not falling. Now, at the end of the day, this is still a really good basketball team. And like Chris just said, they have the third best record in the NBA and the second best record in the Western Conference. I know that the gap is starting to close a little bit, but 47 wins is a pretty darn high mark. It's a pretty darn high number, especially when you've only played, 68 games now. So you've got a lot of games to go. You've already won a lot of games. It's now all about positioning. This team, I watched a team with half this much talent go to the Western Conference Finals. Maybe not half as much talent, but certainly less talent go to the Conference Finals just a few seasons ago. And I still have full faith in this team. This team was built to win playoff basketball games. And, you know, my motto has just kind of been, you know, talk to me when the playoffs come, because I think the Grizzlies are going to be just fine. I'm not worried about one or two or even a week or two-week stretch in the regular season, because it's a sprint, and it's a marathon, not a sprint. And it's, you're going to take your lumps along the way. So I am far from ready to press any kind of panic button.
This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. My producer, Chip Williams, stays with me throughout the program as we welcome our next guest. But before we do that, I want to give a special shout-out to our great sponsor, Audible.com, powered by Amazon.com. They have a great deal for you, our listener. Follow me here. You can sign up, www.audibletrial.com/grizzlybearblues. You get to this link, and you sign up for a membership to Audible.com. What do you get when you sign up? You get a download instantly. Boom, just like that. You're able to go through over 150,000 titles of audiobooks, nonfiction, fiction, everything in between. You can put it on the cloud. You can put them on an MP3 player, CD, whatever you want. Excellent opportunity to go and get even the latest and greatest from the New York Times bestsellers list. You can find those over at Audible.com. Once again, www.audibletrial.com/grizzlybearblues gets you that membership, gets you a download to begin with, and you're a part of the audible.com process. Plus, if you sign up with your membership, Grizzly Bear Blues Live will get a portion of your fee for joining audible.com. And with that, we are going to make a donation, and we are finalizing our process of making our first one. We are going to make a donation to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee, an amazing, amazing place where they take care of those in need, young people with life-threatening ailments and their families. No one who goes through the doors of St. Jude Children's Research Hospital has to pay for their treatment or their lodging while they're there. All they have to do is worry about getting well. Clearly, that is not free. It is through fundraising. It's through donations where they're able to do that, and we want to be a part of that process. So once again, www.audibletrial.com/grizzlybearblues. Sign up for a great service and help an even better cause. Our next guest is a contributor to grizzlybearblues.com, another one of the young bulls that were brought on as the season began. He's been doing a great job, especially with the report card series. on the site after games. And as I said at the beginning of the show, he and Chip, and we'll talk about this right at the beginning of the segment, did a great mock draft that's gotten a lot of buzz for the site. This is Mr. Jonah Jordan. Good evening, Jonah. How are you doing tonight?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. You know, we're talking about the sky not falling and hamburglers, and you know, sometimes you have to rein it in a little bit with the hot takes as things go.
Yeah, I don't like to rein it in with the hot takes. I just kind of let them flow.
Well, there you go. As I was just talking about, you and Chip, you guys had a couple of hot takes in your mock draft you guys released this week. Any particular takes any picks that you thought were particularly worth mentioning here on the show?
Well, it's just more of who we left out. We left out Chris Dunn, the point guard from, I think it's Providence, which was just kind of, it wasn't the best move by us because he's probably going to go in the top 20 to 15, but it happens.
It happens. Sure.
Yeah. But I think if we do another one, I don't know if we will, because that one took a lot of time and effort, but if we did, he'd be back in there. I don't know. Chip loves RJ Hunter from, where is it? Georgia State. I think he took him a little too high, but I'm going to let it slide.
25,
well, Chip,
that's not too high.
Yourself? Yeah, defend yourself, Chip.
25, come on. Plus, R.J. Hunter is going to be a really good role player in the NBA, and he's really smart. He's the son of a coach, and he's going to go play for Brad Stevens in Boston at 25. That's a perfect spot. You're just mad because he didn't fall to the Grizzlies, and that's who you wanted to pick for the Grizzlies.
That may be true.
No, we had a lot of fun with it. We'll definitely do it again as we get closer to draft time. I love doing mock drafts and stuff like that. Joan was right. We spent a lot of time on it, but it was certainly worth it. We had a real good time with it, and hopefully we can put out at least one or two more.
I think you guys did a great job with it. I enjoyed reading it. And, you know, we've had Joseph Real of the realtime.com or realtimedraft.com. He talked about the draft a few weeks ago during the All-Star break. And some of the names you guys mentioned were in his discussion as well. So there was some legitimacy there. And it was really cool to read and kind of get the conversation vibe. It was a well-done setup article. So hopefully you guys are checking that out over on the site as you're listening to the show. Now, Jonah, the Memphis Grizzlies, if you look at Twitter and blogs and message boards, they sound like a science classroom at this point with all this talk about chemistry and trying to mix and match and make things work. And it's curious to me because this is a team that supposedly has such great chemistry because they've been together so long. I mean, we're going on 5 years now of this grit and grind era with Tony Allen, Marc Gasol, Zach Randolph, and Mike Conley being the core four, so to speak. So chemistry issues, rumbles of problems, is this really worth being worried about with these Memphis Grizzlies, or is it much ado about nothing?
Well, I wouldn't be worried just yet because, well, they're frustrated. They're not used to losing like this. Mike Conley's been out, and he's kind of on the court. Mike Conley's the stabilizer. He's not the guy that can get – he doesn't get too high or too low, and he doesn't get really upset ever. So once he gets back and they start winning, which they will start winning again, everything will be fine. The only person I would really be worried about is Beno Udrih. Because I've seen, I think it was Ron Tillery that put it out that he was sniping with Coach Hager. I don't know, like I don't really know that he's ever done that as a Grizzly. And he seems like an emotional guy that takes things kind of personally. So hopefully he can bounce back and be all right after all that. I don't know. Nothing else has come out about it, but hopefully nothing else will.
Well, Beno is a guy who... And the mentioning of Mike Conley, I don't think you can do it enough. Because of that stabilizing force, you put it really well there, Jonah, the fact that you can count on him, he's called Clutch Conley or Captain Clutch for a reason, and it's not just in late-game situations, at least for me. He's a guy who's a steadying presence, like you said. When he's not there, you notice it. You miss him a good bit. I would say outside of Marc Gasol, he's the most important Grizzly in terms of a chemistry and fit way, and he hasn't been there the past few games. And as Chip, I believe, mentioned earlier in the show, he hasn't been there for a while. It was either Chip or Chris. He hasn't been there in a long time in terms of what he was earlier in the year. So Conley coming back, hopefully, I think he went through practice Thursday. Hopefully he comes back against Dallas. If not Dallas, in Portland the next night, or excuse me, at home against Portland the next night, and they find a way to make it work. He is a big piece of that chemistry. It's a situation where a lot of the chemistry questions come from the starting of Jeff Green, whether or not you start him or Tony Allen. And Jonah, you and I have had fun exchanges on Twitter about this question. You know, the Grizzlies, when they are asked about it, especially Coach Yeager when he's asked about it, he's kind of over being asked about it, it sounds like. But, you know, you get mixed messages. Guys are okay with Jeff Green starting. They don't say that. They say that's not the problem. I tend to agree with that. But as I did some research this week, Jonah, for my feature that I did, the different shades of Jeff Green, it was really staggering to look at the net negatives and positives in terms of defensive and offensive efficiency for these units. Obviously, there's some situations where Tony Allen is more successful. He's doing some bigger and better things as a member of the starting – or not as a starting group, but with those four core, usually, starting players of Mike Conley, Courtney Lee, Zach Randolph, and Marc Gasol. The net rating is a little bit better. It's not quite as low in terms – but they're both negatives. But then, and this is all as of this past Monday when I wrote the article, this lineup had an efficiency offensively of 117.6, a defensive efficiency of 92.6. That's a net rating of positive 25. That is Mike Conley, Tony Allen, Jeff Green, Zach Randolph, and Marc Gasol. Jonah, I feel like you and I have been arguing, not meanly, just talking back and forth. We spent all this time, we're focusing too much on the or, Jonah. Maybe it's time that we start talking about, especially with the struggles of Courtney Lee, the and.
Oh, yeah, that makes perfect sense. With Courtney Lee going back to the bench, I don't know if he could bounce back as quickly, but I think the and makes sense. Even if that lineup as a whole, it doesn't. I don't see how it works like it does because Jeff Green can't shoot threes. Tony Allen can't shoot threes. Maybe it's just sample size. I'm not really sure. How much – do you know how much or what the sample size was of the lineup?
It was about the same amount of time that they had played together that Tony Allen had played with Courtney Lee, Mike Conley, Marc Gasol, and Zach Randolph. I believe it was 56 minutes over ever since Jeff Green had become a starter, and the other lineup was 53 that they had played combined. So not the largest sample size. Obviously, Jeff Green with the starters had the biggest sample size. But there's been some success there, and Dave Yeager has gone to that lineup in several situations at end of games.
Yeah, they're obviously going to be an elite defensive lineup with the core four and pretty much anybody they plug into that. But with an engaged Jeff Green, they're going to be really, really good. But the problem is getting Jeff Green to play engaged defense because at times it hasn't really looked like he is that engaged on that end. Like when Rudy Gay lit him up for almost 30 points or Gordon Hayward for almost 25 points. But I wouldn't mind them trying out a new starting lineup, but it doesn't seem like Coach Yeager wants to do that even a little bit.
And I don't think that that's going to make that much of a difference, honestly, because you look at their struggles. And as we talked about with Mike Conley, earlier in the show we talked about Marc Gasol. And Courtney Lee has been terrible. I think when I was doing the research for the article, he was shooting 35% over the past 10 games, and he didn't shoot that well against Detroit, so he didn't raise that percentage up very much. It really is a tough spot to be in when you look at this lineup top to bottom and say, you know, it's Tony Allen not starting and Jeff Green starting, or even if the lineup change was going to Tony Allen and Jeff Green. I'm not sure that that solved the problem either. You need a healthy Conley. You need a consistent Gasol. And I know you and Chip will talk a little bit more about what that means exactly here in a second. But just the idea of consistency with this roster and being there for each other and being in a position to contribute over the long haul and it not just being in spurts. I think that that consistency coming back will really be the biggest key, and it starts with Conley, as you said.
Yeah. Once Courtney Lee starts shooting threes, he's not going to be the 55% that we saw at the beginning of the season, but once he gets back more towards his normal 37, 38, that lineup's efficiency will start going back up, and maybe we can stop talking about Jeff Green and Courtney Lee and just focus on the Grizzlies as a whole.
You're listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am Chip Williams, a producer of the program, joined as always by the host, Joe Molinex. We're talking with Jonah Jordan. Follow him on Twitter at JMJ1757. And Jonah, a little bit earlier, Joe and Chris and myself, we were talking about Marc Gasol and whether, you know, we as Grizz fans or in the media, bloggers, whatever, or maybe asking Mark to do a little bit too much. You know, I think we kind of got that taste earlier on in the season where Mark was seemingly scoring 20 points every single night. He even had sprinkled in a few 30-point games in there, which is something that we had not seen throughout his entire career. He promised to do it in the offseason, and he really delivered at the beginning, and it somewhat tailed off a little bit. But I think Matt Arlicta brought up a really good point, is that if you look at what Grizzly fans are asking him to do, essentially be, you know, run the defense, be basically the captain of the defense there in the middle, but also have the offense go through you and score 20 points a game, you're asking Marc Gasol to be like, you know, one of the 10 or 15 best players of all time, and that's just not simply who he is. He's a great basketball player, but, you know, he's not one of those guys, essentially. So do you think, do you agree with that? Do you think that, you know, Grizzly fans ask Marc Gasol to do too much?
Oh, absolutely. I think we're kind of seeing the after effects of what happens when you ask him to do too much. I think part of the struggles over the last couple of weeks have been because Gasol did carry the offense, did carry the defense for how many ever months it was at the beginning of the season. The defense wasn't as good, but it was still really, really good. But now he looks tired. All of his shots are short. He's not really doing that much on the boards. He's not able to put a consistent four quarters together, which has been a problem for the whole Grizzlies team. So I think asking him to do that, I think they should get him to scale it back on the defensive end and let him focus on offense. But I don't know if he's wired that way. He seems to want to win, and he thinks he does that through the defensive end. So I don't really know how to fix that going forward. But, yeah, I think they're asking way too much of him.
Well, I was going to ask you that. You know, it seems like, Mark, that you're absolutely right, that he would rather be a pass-first guy who kind of leads the defense on that side of the ball. So how do they counteract that? Because it seemed like there was a direct correlation to Marc Gasol scoring 20, 22 a game, and the Grizzlies winning a lot of basketball games. I kind of think that some of it has to do with the fact that Mike Conley, or, you know, the recent struggles, the fact that Mike Conley has just not been good. He's just not been that second or third option that he usually has been, especially earlier on in the season. Now, whether that's injury or fatigue, you know, we'll see. He's getting some much-needed rest now. But, you know, if Marc Gasol does kind of revert back to, I guess, who he is at the core of himself, how do you counteract that? How do you get more offense?
You have to get Courtney Lee going, and you have to have a healthy Mike Conley, as you said. And I would actually think about resting. Even right now, Marc Gasol isn't as good as when he wants to be the player he wants to be. He's not as good as he should be because he's tired. I think probably to get where they want to be, they need to start resting Marc Gasol. Once Mike Conley is back 100% healthy, that's why they have Kufis, to be able to rest him, be able to rest Gasol, and they'll lose a ton on offense, but they're not going to lose that much on defense because Kufis is great. So to get where they want to be, they're going to need Courtney Lee consistently, which I think Joe said earlier, and a healthy Mike Conley, or Marc Gasol is going to have to be putting up 20 points a game, and I don't think he can do that right now.
Once again, you are listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Molinax. The voice that you just heard is that of Jonah Jordan, GrizzlyBearBlues.com contributor. Make sure you're following him on Twitter at JMJ1757. Joined by my producer, as always, Chip Williams. I'm excited to be here with you, and we're having a great conversation about Marc Gasol and whether or not we as fans, bloggers, writers, you know, bloggers or fans, and even writers of the team, they might not say it, but they follow it so closely, of course they're fans. They support the team, and they're invested as well for a variety of reasons. Question of the day. I tweet it out every day at our Twitter account, at GBB Live. And if you answer, you get on the show, and this is your opportunity to be on the program. And the question of the day was what we've been discussing, inspired by Matt Ardlicta, as Chip talked about his tweet from earlier in the week. Are we asking too much of Marc Gasol? I voiced my opinion about this earlier in the show. I think we kind of are at this point. This is a change for me. I've always been the guy yelling and screaming for him to be more aggressive. At this point, you know, we're basically asking him, as Matt pointed out on Twitter, we're asking him to beat Hakeem Olajuwon or Michael Jordan or LeBron James. And Mark is great, but he's not that level of player. He's just not. So maybe we are asking a little too much. Let's see what our Twitter folks had to say. At JNBA5, Jonathan Assad, he says, yes, he's okay with being subtly great while his team gets the credit and prospers, but I don't think they're expecting too much in the sense that Mark is incapable. He is. He just has to want to assert himself. So he kind of agrees with the idea of being more assertive. TA is my homeboy, Matt Bishop, a.k.a. the Thread Killer, chimes in. He says, yes, but fan is short for fanatic, and every fan base has unrealistic expectations, i.e. Kevin Durant as Mr. Unreliable. We do forget about that sometimes. That was pretty crazy. Austin Reynolds, at Reynolds Rant, tweets in at us. Another Grizzly Bear Blues contributor, does a great job. He says, do Grizzlies fans have unrealistic expectations for Marc Gasol? I mean, there are a lot of Grizzlies fans. I bet some of them do. And I kind of probed him a little bit just to get what he thinks his expectations are. He'd be okay with a little bit less defense from Mark. He thinks he's good enough to average 20 points and 8 boards a game. We talked about Matt Ardlicta's tweet. If the expectation is to be the best player on both sides of the ball all the time while also being 7 foot tall and 265 pounds, then yes. And he is the guy, as I said, he mentioned Hakeem and Tim Duncan as the only ones in the modern NBA to pull that trick that are bigs, at least. I think you could argue LeBron does, but LeBron is, of course, LeBron. And then we had another tweet from Ryan Glover at GLove24. He's the best center in the game. That means he should want the ball every possession and be dominant every possession. So some great information and some great takes there. Thank you guys for tweeting in. Make sure that you are, every time that we have a show, looking for the Grizzly Bear Blues Live question of the day and answering so you can get on the program. So, Jonah, as we wrap up with you, we look ahead to the week that is in front of these Memphis Grizzlies. They've had a couple of days off, much needed, I would say. I think everybody agrees with that. Even Grizzlies fans could probably use a night or two off the way that the team has been playing and the energy that feels like it's been exerted watching these games. They're at Dallas on Friday night. So tomorrow night, if you're listening to the live show, if you're listening to the podcast, they're at Dallas Friday. They have Portland Saturday at home. That's a big game for seeding and situations with that. Then they have the New York Knicks in New York. So they're going to the Garden Monday night. They should beat the Knicks, but they should have beaten the Pistons. And then they've got the Cleveland Cavaliers coming to FedEx Forum Wednesday. It's going to be interesting to have LeBron in the house, always is, with his new crew of Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. So we look at these games, obviously the two Western Conference opponents probably being the two games you'd really like to take and get. What are we thinking here, Jonah? What do you see as a prediction? Do you think 4-0 is a realistic expectation, 3-1, 2-2? As we were talking about earlier in the show, you know, as frustrating as this team has been, they could go out and beat Dallas and Portland Friday and Saturday night, and I'm not sure a ton of people would be surprised.
Oh, no, not at all. I would completely expect them. I think they could go 4-0, but I don't know. I'd probably say 3-1 and 2-2 is more realistic. I definitely think they're going to win their next two games. I think there's Dallas. They've beaten Dallas, I think, twice this year, and I don't think they've lost to Portland. So these next two games are going to be good, and they get up for big games. They're not going to struggle with the bigger Western Conference team names. I do think they're going to lose to the Knicks. I absolutely think that's the game they're going to lose. There's no reason for them to lose that game. is a game they should win, which means the Grizzlies are probably going to struggle, and they could lose. The Cavaliers game, it's at home. It's a big game, so hopefully they show up and we don't see the Grizzlies team that we've seen the last few weeks, or it's not going to be pretty.
Well, it's a spot where they're really going to have to find themselves quickly, and especially if Mike Gasol – I keep saying Mike Gasol, like it's some hybrid of the two that I wish existed. Mike Conley, his return, getting him reintegrated into the offense, if he comes back for the Dallas game, and that seems more probable than questionable at this point, at least more probable than it's been the past few games. If Conley comes back, getting him back and getting Bano and Kalathis back into the rotation with that second group more consistently, that's going to be something that has to be a quick study. But do you really see that as an issue? I mean, with these veteran guys, they probably are more likely to be able to fit into those roles than, say, a Russ Smith would be if he was thrust into that situation.
Oh, yeah. I think we'll probably see them slide right back to where they were and not really miss a beat. I don't think Kalathis is going to have much playing time in the future because he's been struggling with turnovers and fouls, and he can't really score like Bano can. And Vince Carter is finally looking like the player the Grizzlies thought he was going to be when they signed him. So I think Kalathis is probably going to slide out of the rotation eventually, which is sad because he was great there for a stretch. But I think Bano will be fine. He's going to be the guy that hits 4 mid-range shots a game and has about 5 assists here again soon.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Jonah, for joining us. I think you're right on the head there with the 2-2, 3-1, somewhere in that situation. I think that's probably where they're going to wind up. Thanks for joining us. We'll have to have you on again, obviously, in the future.
All right. I'll see you later.
All right, once again, that was Jonah Jordan, GrizzlyBearBlues.com contributor. Follow him on Twitter at JMJ1757, full of hot takes. And Jonah is a great guy to have on board. I'm excited that he's a part of the GBB crew. And Chip, it really, you know, looking at these next few games, it's a situation you're unsure of yourself. You want to be confident because you've seen what this team is capable of, especially against the Western Conference elite. But at the same time, they've been so wishy-washy. Saying they could go 3-0 or 4-1 or 3-1, excuse me, 3-1 or 4-0. I mean, it sounds kind of crazy, but at the same time, it doesn't.
Well, it's not, because when the Grizzlies are at their best, they're, you know, one of the 5 best teams in the entire NBA. So saying that they could go 4-0 or 3-1 certainly is not that crazy, but, you know, relative to how much they've struggled, you know, since the All-Star break, it does seem like 3-1 or 4-0 may be a bit of a stretch, just because they've essentially played 500 basketball or maybe slightly better since the All-Star break. So it hasn't been great. I think 2-2 probably, if you're just basing it on, you know, what they've done recently, is probably what you would say would be most realistic. You think you probably go down and beat the Mavs. It just seems like the Grizzlies are better than the Mavs. A back-to-back with Portland is going to be really tough. You get kind of an easy one in there with the Knicks, but then the Cavaliers gave you some trouble earlier this season. I don't think they had a full roster. I feel like I remember someone not playing in that game. So you'll get a shot at them at home, hopefully with a full roster. Hopefully by that time, you know, everyone's healthy, Mike Conley's ready to go. So, you know, 2-2, 3-1 is probably where I'm sitting right now. You really, but you can't afford to do any worse than that. I mean, you cannot afford to have a 1-3 stretch. You know, right now, it's, you know, fans are already kind of on the edge of their seat a little bit. If only for public perception, you need to have a good, you know, next couple of weeks just to kind of restore some faith, I think, in everyone, and maybe even some faith within yourself. You know, you were rolling earlier, you've struggled recently, so. It'd be nice to kind of knock off some of these big boys coming up that the Grizzlies have, if only for just some confidence as we head deeper on into the season.
And as we head into the final segment of Grizzly Bear Blues Live, I want to give a quick shout-out to www.audibletrial.com/grizzlybearblues. Use that URL to sign up for audible.com, powered by amazon.com, a great audiobook service. You sign up, you get an audiobook download and a membership to the site, plus – In addition, Grizzly Bear Blues Live, with your contribution for that service, will be making a donation to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee. Get a great deal for yourself, www.audibletrial.com/grizzlybearblues, and help us support an even better cause. We're excited to welcome back our final guest for this evening. We've had him on the show before. He's been great. He had an opportunity to talk about how he actually really liked Memphis. People were kind of mad at him for a while there, but he's a fan of Memphis. He's obviously grown his step or his footprint at ESPN. He no longer just does the True Hoop After Dark and the True Hoop TV shows, although those are fantastic. If you don't watch them, you should. He's a regular on SportsCenter and other ESPN shows. He also has an NBA Lockdown show on ESPN Radio that you can also find in a podcast. He's growing. The Hate Hard movement is spreading, and we're excited to welcome him back. This is Amin El Hassan. Amin, welcome back. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing great. Doing great. How are things going with you?
You know how it usually is. Cold. I'm in Connecticut, so I'm cold. It's a little too cold for my liking, but, you know, you deal with it.
Well, they keep telling us that spring's around the corner, and apparently these weathermen and scientists are trying to convince me that the first day of winter, or excuse me, the first day of spring is coming up tomorrow, but I think it's going to be more like winter. They're calling for more snow for us down here.
Oh, man, I don't even want to hear the word snow again. You know, you're right, spring is around the corner. It's on the West Coast. I just flew in from L.A. yesterday, and it was perfect out there. So they're right. It's coming. Apparently, it's walking from the West Coast, though.
Yeah, it's around the corner. It's just about, you know, a couple thousand miles around the corner, a couple hundred miles, whatever it might be. Slowly but surely, as it comes creeping towards the east. Well, we're excited to have you back on, Amin. And, you know, we're freaking out here a little bit in Memphis. Not all of us, but Grizzlies fans in general. You know, the doldrums of March for a playoff team, especially for a team like the Grizzlies. We've seen this song and dance before. We should have already expected something like this to happen if you look at hindsight. But it's a situation where it's never easy to say, you know, oh, our team's going to be mediocre for a run. The reason that fans are so frustrated, and I think that there's a real tension brewing, is because the Grizzlies have never really been in this situation where they're two games in front, or a game and a half as of this recording. Houston plays tonight. They're a game and a half in front of Houston for the Southwest Division. They have a real chance at getting this two seed and potentially having home court for multiple rounds of the NBA playoffs. And then if Oklahoma City finds a way in and Durant and Ibaka and Westbrook are able to be healthy and play together, you know, Oklahoma City has a shot at upsetting Golden State. So you're talking about maybe, it's a bit of a long shot, but home court, the entire Western Conference playoffs, this is kind of freaking some people out. How important is it, Amin, for these Grizzlies to win a divisional championship, to get to the two seed, or do you think that they have a realistic shot or maybe would just go as far as they would go anyway if they slipped a little bit?
I think here's the problem. It's not like a regular year where slipping a little bit means the difference between 2 and 3. Because the Western Conference is so tightly packed, slipping a little bit may be the difference between 2 and 7. And that's not a good situation to be in. And that's the concern. If the concern isn't, we're going to lose this 2 seed. The concern is, are we going to lose home court advantage? The scenario you just described may very well happen, where they have home court advantage throughout, you know, at least until the NBA Finals. Or the flip side is, they may not have home court advantage at all in any round. And the gap between those two realities is very, very small, and that's what the concern is.
Well, you're exactly right. You look deeper down the standings, and the Grizzlies are only 3.5 games in front of the 6-seed Dallas, who all, by the way, they play in Dallas Friday night. So they drop that game and then say maybe they feel sorry for themselves, something happens and they lose to Portland, and all of a sudden in 2 games they go from the 2 seed to the 4 seed, looking at Dallas maybe being a game behind them to kick them out of a home court first round. So the margin for error is very slim for this Grizzlies team, And people are pointing at a lot of different directions. Some folks are yelling to the sky. Others are yelling at Jeff Green. Maybe some people are saying it's because Conley's out. I'm of the belief that it's a combination of a lot of things. From your perspective, I mean, what is causing this Grizzlies struggle? Is it just a veteran team trying to get through March and waiting for the playoffs, or is there something more to it?
There's a lot of things. You're absolutely right. There's a lot of things. I think, first of all, Conley's absence cannot play enough. I know you guys are high on Ben Udry, and he's played well, but I think it's the difference between asking him to play against second units and then asking him to play against starting units. And Beno is more of a scoring guard, has always been more of a scoring guard throughout his career, and it's a little bit different role when you have to be the conductor, so to speak, like Conley is. So if you're asking a guy to play out of character and then against a different level of competition, and that ripple effect is felt throughout the roster. Definitely there's a part of it is when will the season end? That's true. I mean, it's just that at some point you hit a wall and you're just not as focused as you once were because you're just, you know, you're just trying to get by until you get to the playoffs. And then, you know, you can look at some of, like, the defense definitely hasn't been as, you know, locked tight as we've been accustomed to seeing it.
We're talking with Amin El-Hassan. Follow him on Twitter if you don't already, at Amin ESPN. Check him out at ESPN.com, True Hoop TV, NBA Lockdown, ESPN Radio. He's all over the place. He's growing. The Hate Hard movement, as I said earlier, it is spreading, and we're happy for you for that. You mentioned Beno Udrih, and he's a guy who is beloved in Memphis, like you said, his positive attitude. He's really taken to the city, like most guys do once they get here. But at the same time, as a starter, he's not what you want for a starting point guard at this point in his career. And then there's also a section of the fan base, and to be honest with you, I mean, I might consider myself a part of it. You look at a guy like Nick Calathes, who has the athleticism, or not maybe not athleticism, but versatility is what I'm looking for. The ability to guard multiple wing positions as well as the point guard. He's having, statistically speaking, in terms of metrics, a great defensive season, one of the top defensive wings in the NBA, if you're going by those by some of those numbers. He's doing a great job with steals. He's creating deflections and whole sorts of chaos. He has some turnover problems. But if we're looking and asking going into a playoff run, what might see San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Dallas, whoever it might be, the Clippers, who's better for Memphis going forward? Is it Beno Udrih or is it Nick Calathes in that backup role? Or is there a way that you can use them both?
I think you use them both. I think the edge goes to Beno, obviously. When you're in a situation like Memphis isn't a, hey, this thing is going to grow for years and years. They are a win-now team. They're a win-now team, particularly when you look at Marc Gasol's age, Zach Randolph's age, Tony Allen's age. You know, Mike Conley isn't a spring chicken either. He's not old, but this is the prime of his career, and those guys are kind of on the tail end of the primes of their careers. You don't have time to wait for guys to figure it out. And that's not just Calathes, you don't have time at all for him, but when you get to the playoffs, the leash gets a lot shorter. And if you can't come in and produce, chances are you're going to sit. And especially if you have there's an alternative on the roster who can come in and produce right away. And Beno, obviously, he's got a ton of experience. He's played, you know, he played for the Spurs. He played, you know, for Slovenia and deep in the European championships and the World Cup and other type of international competitions. And I know Calathes has a wealth of experience from Europe as well, but it's just a different level. Like, Beno's been there, done that, knows who he is, knows his strengths and weaknesses, and tends to play to them.
You're exactly right about that, and that veteran presence really is valuable in the playoffs. One of the reasons why the Grizzlies are a team that is looked to as a potential contender, you know, and in the past, Grizzlies fans and other writers and bloggers have maybe said, oh, the Grizzlies are a dark horse contender. Maybe we were reaching a little bit. This year it really feels like, you know what, this is an opportunity for them. And you're right, that window is closing. It's a real window.
They're not a dark horse anymore. They are the hunted now. Them along with Golden State is a reason why Houston is charging hard. It's because they've been through the Grizzlies pretty much this whole time, and they finally smell blood. And this, it's very different. It's easy to be the underdog, the scrappy, you know, pick that nobody likes us and all that. But it's a lot harder to be the one that every city you show up in Detroit, a team that has nothing to play for pretty much, and they come in and give you their best shot because that's what it's like being the hostage.
And it's something that Memphis isn't used to, and I think that ties back into those chemistry questions that we were talking about before. We're talking with Amin El-Hassan. Follow him on Twitter at AminESPN if you don't already. ESPN.com, all sorts of great things that he does for the variety of ESPN media. You know, we look at this two seed. We were talking about that a little bit earlier. And for a team like Memphis, you know, being at that point and being the hunted, do you think that that makes them lose a bit of what makes them who they are? The fact, I mean, Memphis views themselves as a city as kind of an underdog city. You know, people are walking around, I think that they might have stolen this from Detroit, but they're walking around wearing Memphis versus everybody T-shirts, and a big part of the vibe is, you know, nobody respects us, everybody thinks we are nothing, let's go out and show them. Well, now that Memphis is getting Zach Lowe All-NBA teams named after them, the Marc Gasol All-Stars, and now that they're, you know, there's a bunch of national attention, they're on the association, is there a bit of that grit and grind mentality that is lost with all this attention and all of this expectation?
No, I don't think so, because I think you're talking about two different things. You're talking about what the fan base feels versus what those guys in the locker room feel. Those guys in the locker room know what they're about. Usually what happens when teams tend to lose their identity or lose their way, it's because someone or multiple individuals are having success in a way that they haven't been accustomed to or getting attention in a way. So, for instance, if Tony Allen and, you know, and started getting talked about as one of the best three-point shooters, well, then you have to worry about Tony Allen forgetting or what made him so valuable for the team if he's, you know, so focused on just hitting his three-pointers. That really hasn't happened in Memphis. Pretty much everyone who's doing what they're doing is doing what they're supposed to be doing. This isn't new. It isn't unexpected attention or anything like that. I think it's just – it's a different – it's I don't say it's a different mentality, but it's just a different experience from when you've got someone that you set your sights on versus someone's got their sights set on you.
You're listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I'm Chip Williams, the producer of the program, joined as always by the host of the show, Joe Mullinax, and we're talking with Amin El-Hassan. Follow him on Twitter at AminESPN. Amin, I don't know if you remember, but the last time we had you on, I was actually hosting the show, and I kept calling you Amin, and I think you even corrected me on it, and I still did it, and I just blamed it on being raised in the South and not knowing how to properly pronounce things. So I knew we had you coming on, and I made it a point the last 2 days to make sure in my mind I'm saying, Amin. So I just wanted to let you know that took a lot for me, man. I worked hard on making sure that I got your name right.
Here's the funny thing. You know, Memphis isn't too far from Kentucky, and there was that great Kentucky player, Aminu Timberlake. So it's that exotic of a name when you think about it. There's Al-Farouq Aminu, there is
right.
Khalid El-Amin, you know, there have been some guys out there.
That's my fault, man. I got you this time, though. From now on out, I got you. Amin, we're good. So, you know, you were talking about Tony Allen a little bit. That's what I want to get into right now. You know, Joe mentioned earlier that, you know, in Memphis they've started to do a little bit of a freak out. You know, people are starting to get a little bit worried, and some people have started to make Jeff Green a little bit of the scapegoat. You know, Dave Joerger put him in the starting lineup. A little bit of the advanced numbers don't look great. You know, the plus-minus numbers, the, you know, whatever you want to look at, the lineup numbers, they don't look great with Jeff Green in them. So some people started to suggest that maybe Tony Allen needs to be put back in the starting lineup. He's had a great season, whether he's been starting or coming off the bench. What do you feel? Do you think Tony should be moved back in the starting lineup, or you're cool with him coming off the bench?
Now, here's the thing. It's very rarely is it a case where the guy coming off the bench, if you put him in the starting lineup, will that affect. It's really the guy who's getting benched that you have to worry about. And I can think of an example in Phoenix. I believe it was earlier this year, where Miles Plumlee was the starting center, and he had played very well last year, and they made the decision early this year to start Alex Len and sit Miles Plumlee. And while Alex Len has flourished, as expected, they completely lost Miles Plumlee. They completely lost all of any little production he gave them was gone because basically his confidence was shot. And so when you talk about should you start Tony Allen, the question isn't, is Tony Allen going to be just as good as a starter? The question is, are you now destroying Jeff Green's confidence by making that move? Because that is basically a vote of no confidence.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting that you bring that up. And I think people thought the exact same thing about Tony. Because if you'll remember last season, Tony was suspended a game for basically, I believe, getting upset. Or this is kind of the common theory is that he got upset for being pushed to the bench once Courtney Lee came in and became a starter. So, I want to get your take on this. Do you think that Jeff Green, you know, a lot of people love to point to these, you know, they call them analytics, advanced stats, whatever. Do you think he's really hurting the Grizzlies, and do you think he's kind of the reason that they're in this little bit of a rut now post-All-Star break?
No, he's not the reason they're in a rut. We named – there's a bunch of different things that are going on. And if Mike Conley isn't number one on the – you know, it's funny. Fans sometimes really irk me because there'll be a blatant thing right in front of their face, but if they don't like someone, they're going to find a way to make that the most important thing. Like, oh, it's Jeff Green, I tell you. Or Mike Conley's been banged up. You pretty much your second best player or your best player, depending on how you look at it, his availability is an impact. Or the fourth or fifth best player on the team starting is the bigger issue. You tell me. But in terms of does he hurt the team, I think when you look at Jeff Green, you got to look at there are ways that he hurts the team and then there are ways that he can help this team. And when you talk about playing him, you're really talking about an investment in confidence, an investment in something that you hope can pay off for you in the playoffs when you need someone of Jeff Green's ability to step up for you. Again, another example, blast from the past. Trevor Ariza, when he played for the Lakers in the 2009 season and they won the championship, all year long he was shooting threes and he was terrible at it. And fans were calling, oh, my God, stop shooting threes, you stink at it. But Phil Jackson let him keep doing it because when they got to the playoffs, they knew they were going to need the space support. They were going to need someone who was confident enough to take that shot. And lo and behold, Trevor Ariza caught fire during the playoffs. If he hadn't been encouraged and had that vote of confidence during the season, he's not going to mystically, magically turn it on in the playoffs. Same thing here with Jeff Green. There is an investment in believing what he can do as a talent as an individual basketball player can help this team down the road. It may not be working now, but if you expect it at any point to work, you have to. He has to feel confident. He has to feel like, I go out here, I take these shots, I don't need to look over my shoulder to see if coach is starting to beckon for someone else to come into the game.
And that's a huge part of it, Amin. It really is. And I think you hit the nail on the head there. You're building confidence, and it's in a guy that brings something to the table that nobody else on the Memphis Grizzlies can bring. He brings that versatility of being able to play. You know, I've talked about how he's not a small forward. He's not a power forward. He's a forward. He's able to do
right.
multiple things for you, and he doesn't fit necessarily into either spot. You can see that as a detriment if you want, or you can see it as, hey, we're having a guy here who's able to create mismatches, and if a coach, and Dave Yeager, to his credit, I think is starting to figure out how to work the rotation right to use him in this way, we can find mismatches all over the floor with Jeff Green. And, you know, defensively, he's not constantly committed there. He hasn't really shown in his entire career that he's that guy. But
right.
like you said, focus don't just necessarily focus on what he brings as a detriment. Focus on his positives, that versatility that he brings. We had a great article on the site that talked about his ability to go out and transition. And, you know, when he's playing offense as that stretch four, obviously was stretched, you know, loosely used, but as that athletic forward playing against a bigger body, especially a bench big, he's going to have an opportunity to dominate, especially come playoff time.
Well, there's two things. First of all, just because his three-point percentage isn't great doesn't mean he's not you know, he can't be effective as a stretch four for the simple fact that you swing it to him and he can put the ball on the floor from 23 feet out and drive. Some, you know, a lot of bigs can't
sure.
have that kind of mobility. And that's a tough matchup, particularly to a big guy who's trying to guard someone of that, you know, out there in space. The other thing, again, is I got to go back to they all have warts, right? That's the old saying. They all have something about them that you don't like, or, you know, you wish they did better or whatever. And the idea is you can't focus on those warts. You got to focus on the positives that they can bring to the table. And then how do you subsidize the talent? How do you cover up, put makeup on those warts, and basically reduce the negative impact as much as you can with smarter lineups, with smarter rotation, and then improve the positive impact that he has by putting him in good situations where he can take advantage of matchups.
Great perspective from Amin El-Hassan, and we're finishing up with him on Grizzly Bear Blues Live. Follow him on Twitter if you don't already, at Amin ESPN. And, you know, we look at this Western Conference, and it's a situation where it really is wacky, and I know everybody has talked about this, but I just want to get your perspective while we had you on. You know, two teams that, when healthy, you could argue, obviously, the defending NBA champions in the San Antonio Spurs, and then the Oklahoma City Thunder, who have two of the best five players in the NBA when healthy in Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. They're sitting at the bottom of the conference. San Antonio is probably a lock to get in. But Oklahoma City is still fighting for their lives with the New Orleans Pelicans. You've got Dallas maybe starting to figure it out slowly but surely. Not so much. They're 5-5, their last 10. But, you know, you've got Portland, who is still thriving, even without Wesley Matthews, which is impressive. You know, this Western Conference, and we'll start at the bottom, I mean, you know, Oklahoma City, New Orleans, Pelicans, the Suns have trailed off a little bit. Do you think the Pelicans really have a shot at forcing the Thunder out of the Western Conference playoffs, or do you think it's just a matter of time until OKC pulls away?
I mean, they have a shot because of, in light of the injuries. You know, Ibaka being out is huge. He's by far their best defensive player, their best rim protector. While they have other big options on the roster, none of those guys are as good at protecting the rim as Ibaka is. Durant, obviously, not being 100%, you know, with this injury, you have to think that he'll probably rush coming back, whereas he could have probably sat out a little bit more had Ibaka not gone out with his surgery. But at the same time, I don't believe in the Pelicans' ability to hold on to this. First of all, they've got the second hardest schedule down the stretch among anybody in the NBA, second only to the Phoenix Suns, who are a little further back in that race for eighth. And then it's one of those things where it's hard to bet against talent in this league. And Oklahoma City has talent, and as great as Anthony Davis is, I mean, he's been MVP caliber this year. You look beyond him. If you tell me you have to rely on Tyreek Evans to keep playing above his head and for Monty Williams to kind of bring this whole thing together, these mismatched parts, I'm just not a believer. I think New Orleans is a young team, as evidenced by how they can go out and, you know, beat Memphis one night and then the next night lose to Denver at home. Those are all the hallmarks of a young team. They're not able to sustain effort and bring the focus every night because this is their first time at the rodeo. This is their first time going through all of these situations. So, long answer to your short question. I think the Oklahoma City Thunder will be the 8th seed come playoff time.
I think you're right. I agree with you. It's going to be close. I think the Pelicans are going to stick around a game or so. They're not going to allow Westbrook or Durant, like you said, those guys, Ibaka even, rushing back from injury. They're going to need every ounce of energy. And, you know, as a Memphis Grizzlies supporter, I really feel no sympathy since the Grizzlies were in that boat last year. So the Thunder will be fighting for their lives now. And then also, we'll get you out of here on this, Amin. You know, the two teams that are closest to the Grizzlies who can really pose a threat to that 2 seed or even to losing the divisional lead are Portland, the Trailblazers, who have been, like I said earlier, playing great despite losing a key cog in Wes Matthews, and the Houston Rockets, James Harden playing out of his mind offensively, tremendous season, and he's improved some defensively. Portland or Houston, who should concern Memphis more when it comes to maybe catching them in the standing?
Well, I don't think you should care. Who cares who catches you? You care about getting caught. The only time you care about which team is if you're talking about getting into a matchup with them. So if you were, you know, the 5 seed or the 4 seed, and you're looking at who the other person was, who's coming behind you, but it really doesn't matter who's going to. I think Memphis, for what it's worth, I think Memphis is going to end up with a 2 seed. But I don't think it should concern you who overtakes you. The bigger question is, who am I going to – first of all, how many teams are going to overtake me? So what if Portland and Houston overtake me? That's a concern. And concern number two is, what if – who do I end up playing in the first round? And you know, that obviously is kind of tied to the answer to the first question.
That's great perspective. Just real quick, who do you think it's possible – well, never mind. You just said that you think Memphis is going to hold on to the two. Do you think that they clinch it fast, or do you think it's going to go down to the last day kind of like last year did?
Down to the wire. It's going to be interesting. We're getting our popcorn ready for this stretch run. This playoffs are going to be incredible.
I think you're exactly right. I'm looking forward to it as well, and we'll have to have you on perhaps during that Grizzlies playoff push. Thank you so much for joining us, Amin. Great stuff as always.
No problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. Once again, that was Amin El-Hassan. Follow him on Twitter, at AminESPN. Wonderful having him on. He really has developed a nice little groove there in Bristol, Connecticut, at ESPN, ESPN.com, True Hoop TV. I believe they have a show tonight. So if you don't follow Amin, follow him on or at AminESPN. He tweets out links to it. Great stuff. NBA Lockdown ESPN radio show. Podcast. He's all over the place. He's doing a great job, and we appreciate him coming on and giving some great analysis. And I can't agree with him anymore, Chip, about the idea. You know, we keep looking at these standings, and it's like scoreboard watching. And at the end of the day, you can't do that, because if you take care of your business, if the Memphis Grizzlies do what they're capable of doing, they don't have to worry about it. They're going to be able to keep that 2 seed, hold on to that Southwest Division Championship, be able to hang a banner in the FedEx Forum, and have that nice home court advantage in the Grindhouse for at least 2 rounds if they make it that far.
Yeah, that's the great part, is you control your own destiny. You know, as long as you take care of your business, you don't have to worry about anybody catching you. You'll have the 2 seed, and like you said, you'll have the home court advantage for at least 2 rounds. So that would be great. You know, I think that once the playoffs ratchet up, once they get going, you know, the FedEx Forum truly does transform into the Grindhouse. It's one of the most difficult places to win basketball games. The Grizzlies do not lose a lot there in the regular season, but I feel like they really don't lose a whole lot in the playoffs. You know, you want to keep that for as long as you possibly can. So you go out, you take care of business, you win basketball games, you get rewarded for it, you know, come May and hopefully even June. So we'll see how far they can ride out this, you know, the 2 seed, and, you know, who knows. So hopefully they can keep these other teams at bay for as long as they go. I'll be honest, Joe, I've started to kind of take a look at who might end up with that 7 seed, because that's kind of where my focus has turned. Who might end up with the 7? Hopefully, worst case scenario, we're looking at who ends up with the 6. So, it is that time of year. I think, like Amin said, you know, it's kind of time to buckle down and get ready for a pretty wild finish here, because the Western Conference has been so good all year, and it continues to be so good. It'll be fun. You know, this is a great time of year. We've got March Madness going on. We've got high-level NBA games going on. I'm excited for it, man. It should be a whole lot of fun next few months.
It really is, you know, it's a situation where it really is, I feel like I have catchphrases here. It's a spot where you look at this team, the Memphis Grizzlies, they're in a position where they haven't been before in terms of being the hunted, and I thought Amin really put that very well. They are not the hunters anymore. They are not the guys that have that chip on their shoulder, or maybe they can try to find a way to be those guys again. But that's not their mentality anymore. At least it can't be. They are the hunted. They are the guys at the top looking down on the West. And how long they stay at the top is a flexible situation. This is the crescendo of this movement, this grit and grind era. I do believe that. I think this is the apex, the climax, the third act, whatever metaphor or statement you want to use. I think this is it for this team, and I think that that's part of why, you know, people are a little bit more uptight, people are a little bit more upset when they see the team struggling. They maybe see the writing on the wall, or they feel it kind of creeping into their soul a little bit, that this, you know, we're starting to see the end of this, and it's a spot where you want to see this team fulfill its potential. And everybody who follows it believes that this is a championship team. More and more people outside of Memphis are starting to believe it's a championship team. I hope that they follow through on that. Before we close out the show here, Grizzly Bear Blues Live, I do want to right a wrong, and I'm going to mispronounce it because I just, it's a mental block now at this point for me. I left out somebody on the Grizzly Bear Blues Live question of the day, and I'm very upset about this legitimately because he's a loyal listener, a great guy on the site, a great contributor, helps us out a good bit. Adam Rubrum said, when it comes to Marc Gasol, I expect the offense to flow through Gasol. Doesn't always need to shoot, but he needs to touch the ball in almost every possession. So he thinks that Marc can be more offensively focused. Chip, I mispronounced that, didn't I?
Probably so. I feel like Adam is kind of like you're a meme to me. You know, I don't know why. I could not get the guy's name right to save my life the first time the time that I was hosting. But hey, no big deal, man. We all struggle to do certain things, and I guess with me and you, it's pronouncing certain people's names.
I don't know why Adam's name hurts me so much. Adam, you're going to have to help me out. I hope I got it right, and if I didn't, I'm going to get it right. I need to get better with it. He's right. We need to make a commitment so that when we have Adam on, I can say his name 100 times and just nail it every time. That's the goal. Oh, I got it right. Yes. Excellent. All right. Yes, I got it right. Yes, I'm pretty fired up about that. That makes my night. Perfect time to start wrapping up the show. The next time that we will be on the Blog Talk Radio airways will be Thursday, March 26th for our live recording. Make sure that you tune in. If you missed the live recording of this show, don't worry. You can find us over at our Blog Talk Radio page. And we are also on iTunes. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. I've been checking out the iTunes account lately, Chip, and our popularity bar is getting pretty dark. Folks going over, subscribing, and checking out over on iTunes, that's fantastic. Please do so. Make us a part of your iTunes podcast rotation. Make sure you're signing up for www.audibletrial.com/grizzlybearblues. Get a great audiobook membership with audible.com. Using that URL, you'll also help us make a donation to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee. Thank you so much to Chris Faulkner in our first segment with great perspective on Grizzly Bear News. Make sure you're checking out all the great work that has gone up on the site recently. We have lots of talented folks that are plying their writing craft for the Memphis Grizzlies, that are covering the Memphis Grizzlies for the blog grizzlybearblues.com. Make sure you're checking that out. Make sure that you are following Jonah Jordan, speaking of great contributors, if you don't already, at JMJ1757. He's a great contributor, does a good job, especially with those report cards. And that mock draft that we talked about by Chip and Jonah has been very popular on the site. Make sure you're giving that a read. And then finally, of course, Amin El Hassan of ESPN. Thank you so much for coming back on the program. Great perspective on Memphis being the hunted. And I like how he said it at the end. Sometimes you ask these questions and you hope you get an answer. It doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter. You shouldn't be looking or thinking which one catches you. You're not going to get caught. You need to play the games. And if you do slip, the concern is more about matchup than it is getting caught. But that can't be the focus. So I thought Amin had great perspectives there. It's been a great show, as always. I've enjoyed it, as always. Ladies and gentlemen, I am your host, Joe Mullinax. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I look forward to talking with you next week. Grind forth, Grizz Nation. This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live.